Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of this station. They're my views, the views of our guests, the views of our callers. And, of course, we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY or here in the Central Coast of California at 464-8295. But please hold your calls because we have with us one of my favorite guests, John Stormer. And John has written books with over 10 million. Aren't there over 10 million of your books in circulation, John?
Right.
All right. And John's going to be talking about the foundations of our freedom today. And, of course, we're really going to be talking about the Declaration of Independence. Because you can't understand really where our freedom came from unless you understand the Declaration. You can't understand why we're in the mess we are today unless you understand that if you take God out of the equation of society, you end up with chaos, you end up with corruption in the corporate world, you end up with corruption in our courts, you end up with corruption at the highest levels of our government. In fact, the Vice President of the United States is being sued because when he was the CEO of Halliburton Oil Company, he was doing just what Enron was doing, cooking the books. Man cannot live without God in a civilized society. John, you pick up the story of our Declaration and why every student should memorize every word of that document.
Well, it basically, you can't correctly interpret or apply the Constitution unless you start with the Declaration of Independence. The thing that makes us different as a nation than any other nation in history was that concept that the Founding Fathers set forth in the second paragraph of the Declaration when they said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And then it says, to make those rights secure, or to secure those rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the governed. Now that brings us to the Constitution. The government that was established back there in 1787, 88, 89, the purpose of that government was to make secure the rights that came from the Creator. Now, if you get that down and get it solid, then how could any judge, if the Constitution was written to make secure the rights that come from God, from the Creator, then how could any judge or court find a right in the Constitution to abort babies, distribute pornography, have same-sex unions, or as those judges up in San Francisco a week or so ago, how could they find a right in the Constitution written to make secure the rights that come from God? How could they find a that it violates the Constitution to say a pledge that says we were a nation, one nation under God, indivisible?
Well, don't you think, though, John, that really the reason that they've done these things, the reason the court has done what it does, is because there are men there who don't believe that rights come from God. They hate Christianity. They hate everything America stands for. And they knew that if they could undermine the fabric and the foundation of this society, they could destroy it. And boy, they've sure done a good job.
Well, that is true to a degree insofar as the overall. Well, if you go back to the early 1920s, a man named I just lost the name. The head of the Harvard Law School.
You're talking about Felix?
No. Felix would have maybe been Felix would have come out of there before then. His name was Pound. Head of the Harvard Law School in the 1920s. And in a book he wrote, he said, the state will replace Jehovah. The state will replace Jehovah. And in the education of lawyers for, well, that gets back 80-some years ago, down to today, they have totally brainwashed lawyers. I've been doing a survey for the last 2 years, Dr. Stan. Every attorney and every judge I meet, I say, I've got a question for you. You took a course in law school in constitutional law. They all say, yeah, and some of them groan and say, you know, the book was that thick, and they hold their stuff about 2.5 inches thick. And I say, now my question is this. And then I pull my Constitution out of my pocket, and I say, when you took your course in constitutional law in law school, did you ever actually read and study the Constitution itself? Or did you just study Supreme Court decisions which told you what to believe about it? And I'm up well over 100 now, over a two-year period, and I've only found two attorneys who actually studied the Constitution in law school. It turns out they went to two different law schools, but they had the same constitutional law professor, a fellow named Herb Titus.
Oh, he's a good friend of both of ours, of course.
That's right. Now, there's an analogy there. I've talked to too many people who went through seminary at some time in the last 50 years, and in some cases they were young men who came to know Christ in a denominational church when they were 12 or 14 years old and felt called to preach, and so they went off to their denominational seminary. In other cases, they went off to seminary lost and went through seminary, and at some other point, somebody witnessed to them, or through reading the Bible themselves, they came to know the Lord. And their testimony is, I went through 3 years of seminary, and we never studied the Bible itself. We instead read books and studied books about what was wrong with the Bible.
That's just what the lawyers are doing. They're reading books about the Constitution, but never the Constitution itself. And, of course, the Constitution, really, the most amazing, amazing document. We're going to have to take a quick break, and when we get back, our special guest is John Stormer, and we'll invite your calls here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is the time, of course, when we want to remind you that we depend upon those of you out there in the listening audience to help us, and one of the things you can certainly do would be to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision. Why would you do that? Well, the rates are good, the service is excellent, and when you call them, if you did have a problem, you get a real live individual. Call AT&T, call MCI, and try to get a live human being. Call 866-448-5631. That's 866-448-5631. You'll get a live human being, and of course we hope that you'll want to change your long-distance carrier over to Promise Vision, and of course when you do, 15% of whatever your charges are will come back to help finance our ministry. And then, of course, we want to mention, if you have children or grandchildren in government schools, we hope that many of you will give serious consideration to buying a Phonopoly set. And Phonopoly is a board game played like Monopoly, except it's actually 5 board games, and the purpose of the games is not to have a good time, although children love it, and, of course, because they love to win. In fact, I had a lady the other day who said that her younger boy didn't want to play because his 8-year-old brother was always defeating the 6-year-old at Phonopoly. And I asked her how she did, and she said, he beats me too. But here you learn the elements of phonetic reading and phonetic spelling and phonetic pronunciation. Most of these programs are $300 to $400. This is $139.95. It's 5 board games, 2 bonus games, and 2 books that we throw in. So if you care about your children and your grandchildren, and you want them to be able to read and read properly the way that they're intended to read, call us at 1-800-544-8927. Ask for Phonopoly. Have you ever wondered what the Vietnamese War was really all about, why America, the most powerful nation in the world, spent 10 years fighting in Southeast Asia against a nation the size of the state of Mississippi, and America lost that war. Do you really believe that happened by accident? There's so much to the story of Vietnam that the American people have never really known. And in our four-tape set, Vietnam, The Untold Story, you're going to get the information that you need to understand the tragedy of that event. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, and ask for Vietnam, The Untold Story, the story of what really happened in Vietnam that has been suppressed from the American people for the last 20 years. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest this afternoon is John Stormer. Incidentally, we carry his book, None Dare Call It Education. We carry his book, None Dare Call It Treason. We carry his book, None Dare Call It Treason, 25 years later. They're all available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-5-HIV-WAR. In fact, if you buy a Phenopoly set, why, we give you a copy of his book, None Dare Call It Education. It just comes right along with that, because it will help you understand that there has been an organized, orchestrated effort, not accidentally to dumb down our students, but to intentionally dumb them down. People have a different agenda. They want a different vision of the world. They want a ruling elite, and that's going to be them controlling you and your family. So pick up the story about our Constitution, will you please? And the fact that you were saying that the lawyers, the young men going through law school, just are not taught the Constitution at all. They don't understand what it says. They only know what judges have said what it says. And, of course, then we have rule by men rather than rule by law. John?
Yes.
Okay, go ahead.
Yes. By the way, I mentioned the question that I ask attorneys over the last 2 years. I had an opportunity about 2 years ago to ask Judge Roy Moore, the Ten Commandment judge from down in Alabama, that question. And Roy kind of laughed, and he said, back seven, 8 years ago, he said, I came to realize that as a sitting judge, I didn't know anything about the Constitution of the United States. I was a graduate of the United States Military Academy at West Point. I was a law school graduate, and I didn't really know anything about the Constitution. He said, I started to study it on my own, and I've been in trouble ever since.
Well, God bless Roy Moore. He's a great man.
The problem that we face, if the preachers don't know anything about the Bible, and the lawyers don't know anything about the Constitution, and those are the two foundations on which our country grew great, is it any wonder that we're in the difficulty that we're in today? And, of course, the citizens of this nation, I haven't been able to find any public school history or government textbook published in the last 75 years that tell what makes us different as a nation. They may have a fuzzy picture of the Declaration there, but they don't instruct. Now it's three or four generations of young people that the thing that makes us different was that concept that we are endowed by our Creator, that our rights come from God. About the only thing that, about the closest, that even they, most of them just ignore it, but in the 1991 Houghton Mifflin 8th grade social studies text, A More Perfect Union, incidentally, that's the companion book, the 1991 Houghton Mifflin 7th grade social studies text, is the one that's caused all the controversy out in California. It has 2.5 pages on the glories of Islam, and has the instructions to the teacher to have the kids come dressed in Islam garb and read the Koran and memorize verses and say a prayer to Allah. That same book has about a half a page on Christianity, focusing on the Inquisition and the burning of the witches and so forth. But in their treatment of the Declaration, it says, all men are created equal, dot, 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 with certain unalienable rights. Now, what's missing there? What's those three dots stand for? The seven words that they are endowed by their Creator. Now, that's so important because, you know, everybody thinks they got rights, but if the rights come from the Creator, that would put a real limitation on what some of those rights are, first of all, and it would also make a generation of young people taught this, that they would realize that they're going to be answerable to that Creator for how they exercise the rights that they have or think they have. Now, a lot of people would deny that question, that it's just not politically correct to say that we were founded as a nation under God. And people say, well, yeah, they said that in the Declaration, but they say, but. Now, is that true? Is that concept that's set forth in the Declaration true? Where did it come from? Well, we have to go back, actually, to late 1400s and the invention of the printing press, and then the translation of the Bible into the language of the people, and the Great Reformation that started in Western Europe. And during the next couple of hundred years, basically Western civilization developed, built on the foundation of the Bible. First of all, they, of course, rediscovered and started to propagate the idea that you're saved, you get to heaven through your faith in Christ and the blood he shed. But then as it went along, people started to ask some questions in France and England and the United States, and over a period of about 100 years, men started to say, I wonder if that Bible maybe has something to say about government and people's relationship to their government. And out of that came the Declaration, the setting forth there in 1776 of the Declaration of Independence.
Well, let's go to Richard calling us from Alabama. Richard, did you have a question or comment?
Yeah. I read this semi-credible story about the War of 1812. And it says in there that the U.S. was forced to sign a protocol to the peace treaty in 1812 to the effect that we would not try to reconstruct the records of the ratification of the original 13th Amendment.
No, wait a minute. That's a long way away from the Declaration of Independence, Richard.
Not only that, he says as a end of the War of 1812, that a protocol had to be signed that we wouldn't do something about the 13th Amendment. That didn't come till 1865.
All right, fine. Thanks very much, Richard. Richard's calling on another time, but that's really not a subject we want to get into when we're talking about the Declaration of Independence. And I know very well that he's talking about this 13th Amendment, which probably had to do with, you should not have any titles of nobility. And a lot of people say that this was ratified and then, of course, was sort of ignored after that. But
I think he misspoke when he said the end of the War of 1812.
Right.
This thing of people would say, well, they made up those words, but if the Declaration is true, and if our rights did come from God, then there should be a biblical basis for it. And as a result of my study, Dr. Stan, I've come to see that everything you can find in the Declaration as it's set forth there, and the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, the rights that are set forth there that are recognized as coming from God, that they all have a biblical basis. For example, life, liberty, and first of all, the Creator. And the Bible certainly says that there is a Creator. And then life. The Scripture in Genesis 2:7 says that God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. So life comes from God. And then liberty. 2 Corinthians 3:18 says, now, The Lord is that Spirit. Where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. It's God's Holy Spirit in us, once we've put our trust in Christ, that sets us free, gives us real liberty from sin and self and Satan and all the other things.
Well, you know, there were many, many of the great Christian writers, John Knox, who said that, you know, basically that Christians had a right to revolt against a tyrannical government. Samuel Rutherford, the Scots theologian, who wrote about Lex Rex, the law is king and all men are created equal, and because all men are created in sin, why should the king have the right to rule over the people? Because he's created in sin too. And then, of course, John Locke, who wrote about nature's God and nature's law, and about the right to life, liberty, and property that came from God. And it was all of these ideas then that were carried over into the Declaration of Independence. And these were the worldview of the Christian writers who preceded the Declaration. Isn't that true?
Yes, and at the time the Declaration was written, there was a real division in churches over whether or not the Declaration of Independence was a valid document, the stand they took there, whether it was Christian or in violation of Romans 13. But if we read the Declaration, those 53 people who signed the Declaration of Independence, they weren't just some radicals joining together. They were all the representatives of sovereign states who had a right to exist, and the king had violated those rights. And I think this gets us back to the place that if we really read the Declaration, then they reserved, those representatives of the states, reserved the right to replace that government that they were going to establish if it became tyrannical. And the problem we have today is that we have 50 states that have all laid down, and they ignore what the 10th Amendment says and all the rest, and they have traded their liberties for their rights for a few government handouts, each of which come down from Washington with strings attached.
We're going to be back here in just a moment with John Stormer, and we're talking about the Declaration of Independence. And we really have a number of excellent books on that. We have The Original Intent by David Barton. We have The Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye. We have Abandonment Theology by John Chalfont. These books will really help you to understand the Christian foundation of our nation. But one of the things that I think is really among the best is our four-tape set on the foundations of our freedom. 4 one-hour interviews with Dr. James Herson, who is a professor of law and constitutional law at Trinity Law School. And really, I think so important that you have the background and understand how America came about. That's the Foundations of Our Freedom, a four-tape set. And then, of course, the three books that I mentioned, certainly the Faith of Our Founding Fathers by Tim LaHaye, Original Intent by David Barton, and, of course, Abandonment Theology by John Chalfont. These are the books that you need to have and you need to get in the hands of your children so they understand this wonderful gift of freedom that was passed to us from generations past. So that if America survives as a free society, they will be able to rekindle that faith in freedom that was once the hallmark of America. And an understanding of why it was de Tocqueville who said that he searched America to find the source of our greatness and goodness. It wasn't until he went into the pulpits of our nation and found the pulpits flaming with righteousness that he understood the source of our greatness. And there he said, America is great because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. How many of you out there in the listening audience today really feel that America is still good? Give us a call at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR now. Have you ever wondered what really happened at Waco? Have you ever wondered if maybe the government was not giving you the full story? Well, there is the most amazing video. It's called Waco, The Rules of Engagement, 2.5 ripping hours of the story of a government onslaught into a group of peaceable people. Now, their religion may be different than yours and mine, but they were still Christians, they still believed in the Bible, and they believed that the government would one day become their enemy and destroy them. Well, Waco, The Rules of Engagement is a video that everybody who loves freedom should see, because the ultimate conclusion is the government did not want them to come out. The government did everything they could to keep them from coming out, to antagonize them, loud music, lights all the time, to totally create a situation where they could not cannot think clearly or would respond normally. Waco, the rules of engagement, is currently unavailable to regular sources. Call 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Well, Dr. Stan, back here, our guest today is John Stormer. John, do you have a website or a telephone number or anything you'd like to get out?
No, I haven't had time to develop anything like that.
All right, fine. Well, John goes all over the country.
And you have my books available, and so that would be the only thing that we do have some new videos available.
Well, why don't you talk about
available.
Why don't you talk about those and give them your number where they can get them?
There's a 45-minute speech titled, What Are the Dead Communists Doing in the World Today? That was done up in Monrovia, California last fall. I believe you were on the program as well. And it's vitally important that we realize that this Russia, headed by Putin, our friend... is a longtime KGB agent. He ended up heading the successor agency of the KGB. He's reinstituting a communist dictatorship in Russia, and yet he's just been made a partner in NATO. Our president went over and signed a nuclear disarmament treaty with him a couple of weeks ago. I can't understand why we would ever make another treaty with the Russians when they have failed to live up to any treaty they've ever made in the past on which, when it was suited their purpose to get rid of it.
Well, I think the most interesting thing, John, is the propaganda by our administration to convince us that communism is dead, there is no more communism in the world, and yet, of course, 1.25 billion people live under communism in China, but we'll ignore that, and everything's different in Russia now. They really have a market economy, and of course, there's no communism in Vietnam or Korea. There's no communism in Cuba. Communism is all dead. Now we can join together with them. Let's go to Daryl, who's calling from Pennsylvania. Daryl, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, and I'm from Crescent, Pennsylvania, very close to where Dr. Stormer was brought up.
All right.
And I just wanted to say I've got his book, None Dare Call It Treason. As a matter of fact, I've ordered about 15 and given them away, and I just wanted to say it's a tremendous book. It documents the communist infiltration of our government, education system, especially the State Department, and I just wanted to thank Dr. Stormer for that and say that Radio Liberty offers a special on that. Dr. Stan, five of those fine little books for $12.50 postpaid, and I think that's a tremendous deal. I've been getting them and giving away. So God bless you both, and thank you for your efforts.
Thank you so much, Gerald. Anything else you want to say?
No, sir.
God bless. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
All right,
we thank that man, and those 10 million books that you mentioned we've distributed, there weren't very many of them ever sold through the normal book channels. It's been people like our caller who buy 10 or 20 or 50 or 100 or 1,000 and get them out. That's been a big step in awakening and alerting the American people.
Well, of course, for our listeners, John is a minister of the gospel. He's retired now, and his retirement, I think he's working harder than ever, traveling across the country like Paul Revere, trying to get people to understand what's going on. And the book he published in 1964 is still very apropos to what's going on today, although we have the update on that, and that's entitled None Dare Call It Treason 25 Years Later. And then, of course, None Dare Call It Education, both very good. How can people get your videos if they'd like to get them?
Well, the best way, the two videos that are currently available, well, there's actually three. What are the dead communists doing in the world today? That's number one. Number two, the war against our culture through the schools. And the newest one is the biblical basis for the Declaration of Independence and the Constitution. They're $20 a piece, or if you buy two of them, you get them for $35. And you order them by sending a letter to John Stormer, Box 32. That's the address on any of my books, Florissant, Missouri, 63032.
That's Florissant, Missouri. You want to spell that for our listeners?
Florissant, Missouri, the key thing is the zip code 63032. Box 32 and 63032.
All right, fine. And I actually heard a couple of those speeches when they were given. And John has a wonderful, wonderful source of information for me and for many other people across America. So I recommend his material to you.
Let's get back for a minute to a couple of things that, you know, we talk about our rights come from God, but, you know, every one of our rights, the Bill of Rights, for example, have a biblical basis. I usually, when I make a speech, I say, now, after I show life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness have definite biblical basis, I say, now, does anybody know the verse that says, thou shalt have freedom of speech? Everybody looks kind of blank and gets a little nervous. And I say, now, what did our founding fathers say? We hold these truths to be what? Self-evident. And that it's obvious that God gave us freedom of speech, for example. If the Lord Jesus said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature, would he tell us to do something that he didn't give us the right to do? And the same with freedom of assembly and the freedom of petition and the freedom of religion. And then the one that usually gets real attention, I say, what about the Second Amendment? What is the Second Amendment? There's always a few men in that crowd that say the freedom to keep and bear arms. I say, yes. Now, is that a biblical basis? And I take them to Luke 22 and verses 35 and 36. Just before the Lord, the night before the Lord was going to the cross, he said, now, if you, I sent you to go out into the world, and I told you if you don't have any this, any that, he said, and then, if you don't have a sword, sell your coat and buy one. That's the importance that the Lord Jesus put on having a means of self-defense. And would he tell us to do something that he wouldn't give us the right to do? About that time, there's men all over the audience looking for a pen and writing it down, and they come up and, what was that verse you said? So our rights, as spelled out in the Bill of Rights, and the Bill of Rights doesn't give us any rights. It simply says Congress can't mess with those, acknowledging that they came from God.
You know, I think the most important thing for people to understand is that we felt, and our founding fathers felt, that our rights came from God. Therefore, if you read the first amendment of the Constitution, Congress shall make no law respecting the establishment of religion or abridging the free exercise thereof. It was a limitation placed on government to interfere with our God-given rights. The right of the people to keep and bear arms shall not be abridged. It was a limitation on the power of government.
That's right.
The entire Bill of Rights limits the power of government. Why? Because our founding fathers realized it was government that would take away our freedom. That's why people like Patrick Henry didn't want the Constitution, because they feared government. And how far we've come from that today, from what basically... so many of the people said, one of our founding fathers, or at least a man who was a great writer at that time, Thomas Paine, said that all societies are good, but government, even at its best, is a necessary evil.
Right. By the way, I stumbled over a name when we started out. I finally came to the fact that his name was Pound. Roscoe Pound.
Roscoe Pound, right.
The head of the Harvard Law School in the 1920s did more to destroy the whole concept of our legal system in the lawyers he trained up there.
And, of course, what they did is they infiltrated the law schools, just as they infiltrated the seminaries here in this country, both Catholic and Protestant, and, boy, are they doing a good job. Because they hate freedom. And when you understand that, all you need to do is read what the Constitution said. There's no question. The federal government has no business doing what it's doing. And the judges knew that, so they had to take the 14th Amendment and twist the meaning of it and attach it to the First Amendment. They knew what they were doing was a lie. But, of course, they didn't care, because they were after the destruction of America.
That thing of the First Amendment, Congress shall make no laws regarding the establishment of religion or restricting the free exercise thereof. You know, that thing has been so distorted because we've lost all concept on what religion is. If we go back to, for example, the 1828 Noah Webster Dictionary, the definition of religion at the time when the Bill of Rights was written. Religion was the duty that every man owes to his God. Now, if you look at that, then the Bill of Rights, the Constitution, was in effect acknowledging, yes, every man has a duty to God, and Congress just can't tell how you fulfill that. Now, if you understand that, then there's no basis for all of this separation of church and state and all the rest of this, actually the secularization of our society. That's so far from what the original intent was. You mentioned David Barton's book, and that's just a tremendous asset and resource.
It certainly is. Well, we've got Roger calling from Pennsylvania. Roger, question or comment?
Yeah, I had two things I was very much frustrated with. Suggest any improvement in tactics here for education. And of course, as you mentioned in that respecting, that word should be correctly understood by the knuckleheads as meaning concerning an establishment of religion. That would be the more direct understanding of the word, I think.
Mm-hmm.
The two items I had, one is you alluded to the Ninth and Tenth Amendment, that being ignored by Congress and the federal government in this federal power grab. Now, it may not be everything is connected with the federal power grab, but probably 90% and more is. And it's just one of the frustrations is that we've forgotten the Supreme Court's power grab, and this applies to the First Amendment as well, that is when they invented the incorporation doctrine out of the 14th Amendment, where
right,
everything comes under federal government power because it's somehow related to interstate commerce.
All right, let's get John's comment on that. John, what are your thoughts on that?
Well, we have moved to the Constitution, the Bill of Rights has written only applied to, in fact, when the Congress approved and the states approved the Bill of Rights that says Congress shall make no laws, you know, there were a number of the states that had established religions at that point.
Sure.
And the caller is correct that the expansion and the misinterpretation and the term he used, incorporation, the 14th Amendment, has taken and broadened out and let the federal courts just apply in almost any way they want, greatly expanding the federal the power of the federal government. And the problem is the states have not stood up to it. Now, the Missouri legislature for the last couple of years.
John, I'm going to have to interrupt you. It's time to take a break here. We'll
okay.
be right back here. Roger, thanks so much. Well, this is the time when I have to remind our listeners that Radio Liberty is listener-supported. We're really dependent upon those of you who listen to our programs to help us so we can continue what we do gradually, little bit by little bit, expand our coverage. And to those of you who have made additional contributions or special contributions, we have started our Saturday program. It's a syndicated program now heard on 6 stations, and we hope to expand that across America. And then, of course, we have other plans and things to do, but, of course, we need the funding before we'll step out. And so if you agree with what we're doing, if you believe that freedom is worthwhile sacrificing for, give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. We hope you'll join the Radio Liberty family of supporters, and for a suggested gift of at least $20 a month or more, as much as you can afford, you'll get our 4 best tapes of the month, you'll get our monthly newsletter, but more than that, you'll be helping us do what we do, and that is get the truth out across America. And then, of course, we want you to go to our website at radioliberty.com. We want you to tell others about our programs. We want you to tell them about our website, and you can go there and pull down our newsletters. You can go down there and actually listen to our programs 3 hours a day on radioliberty.com, and there are links to American News Net and genesis.com. You can pick up the other programs we do. Listen to the programs. You're welcome, at least the programs that I do on my network, Radio Liberty, to copy them, to copy our newsletters, to copy anything we have on the website, and help us to get it out across America. Freedom is lost when people don't understand it. Believe me, the media in America is controlled. You're not getting the truth from the media. You're certainly not getting it from our universities. Call us at 1-800-5-HIV-WAR right now. Now, most people would laugh at the idea that there is or has been a secret society. I wanted to tell you about a tape we have. It's a talk I gave before the Concerned Women of America some years ago, and it basically goes back into the background behind the secret society, which was formed in England and eventually came to America and came to be known as the Council on Foreign Relations. It goes into the background of Cecil Rhodes. And how does that secret society that he created impact on you today? If you read the works of Professor Carol Quigley, who is Bill Clinton's mentor, you'll understand that Professor Quigley is probably one of the leading experts today on history, but also a man who had the courage to speak out. You need to get the four-tape set, The Secret Government, to understand what Professor Quigley taught Bill Clinton. That's 1-800-5-HIV-WAR, because America is under attack today. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is John Stormer, and we'll get back to that subject in just a minute. We do have Bruce still calling in from Ohio. Let's get Bruce. Bruce, did you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir, I do, and I wanted to thank you for the program. It's outstanding. I'm pretty much a first-time listener, but I just couldn't get over what's being said here. It's wonderful.
Well, I hope that you'll become a regular listener and go to our website or go to our shortwave. You're listening in shortwave or web?
On the web, and there's no doubt that I've already been to the website just as I was listening, and putting together a list of things to buy.
All right, fine. Well, that's good news. Anyway, do you have a question or comment?
Yes, sir. Dr. Stormer earlier in the program made a passing reference to Romans 13, kind of glossed over it. This is a question that's near and dear to my heart, our rights. And where do they come from? I believe, too, that they come from God. And I try to make this quick. Based on what I know, which is very little, about the Constitution, writers and signers, I do understand that there were 55 and that all but one or two were members of Christian denominations. The breakdown I have shows about 16 or 18 of those 55 were Calvinists. My question is, you know, and this is the Constitution, granted, not the Declaration 11 years later, but...
No, the Declaration was in 1776. The Constitution was signed in 1787.
Okay, that is 11, isn't it?
Right, right.
Okay, so... anyway, the question has to do with if 16 to 18 were Calvinists, isn't it fair to say that true Calvinism doesn't really hold to free will? How can there be no free will and have rights? In other words,
these are well. Let's get John.
Do you understand what I'm getting at?
John, what would your response be?
Well, I think that something that I don't fully comprehend, I believe that God is absolutely and totally and completely sovereign.
Yes.
Which John Calvin, of course, teaches. But then the scripture also makes it plain that this totally, completely sovereign God makes us fully and totally and completely responsible.
Right.
Now, I don't understand how those two things work together, and anybody who tries to explain it usually gets out of balance either on the side of sovereignty or they get out of balance on the side of human responsibility.
If one tries to go one way or the other with it, as opposed to a synergy, together,
and
as in Romans.
It can only really be understood, or it only meets, it's like two parallel lines. They finally meet in infinity or in the mind of God.
Yes, sir.
And I think that this is a very, very confusing issue. The question, the issue is not did they sign, but why did they sign? But the fact is they did sign, and the Calvinists went right along with this, along
yes.
with the Presbyterians and the others, and they believed that men were entitled to be free.
Yes.
And, of course, freedom comes from God, and you were not going to get that with a tyrannical English king who was abusing his power and, of course, taking away the rights of the people. And so these people were willing, of course, to risk their lives and their fortune and their sacred honor to support the Constitution, as they said, you know, in support of this Constitution with firm reliance upon divine providence, we mutually pledge to one another our lives, our fortune, and our sacred honor. Go ahead, John.
Well, you said it. And,
oh, absolutely.
There.
Yes, I thank you for that. I wasn't here to argue one against the other. I was wondering about what was in the minds of these, you know, original 16 to 18 who were members of the Calvinist Church at that time, because they obviously did not only believe, but they, you know, their faith was evidenced by the work of the Constitution
Well, I'll tell you what, if the founding fathers of America had interpreted Romans 13 the way it's being interpreted in our seminaries today, which have been taken over by the enemies of freedom, why would we still be living under British rule? And Romans 13 is being used intentionally. The meaning of Romans 13 was interpreted entirely differently at the time of the Revolutionary War than it's being used today, and it is being used today to bring about our enslavement. And I've heard there's some wicked, wicked people who are doing it. What are your thoughts on that, John? Because, of course, you're a minister of the gospel. You have been for an awful long time. How do you approach the issue of Romans 13?
Well, to me, the submission to government is absolute. A lot of people, that causes them to raise their eyebrows. But there are two ways that you submit. You can either submit to the king and so forth, as 1 Peter 2 says, or Romans 13 says, but there's two ways of submitting. You either do what it tells you, or you put yourself at risk of the other way of submitting is to accept the penalty. Daniel, for example, when the king said, "You can't pray except to me for 30 days, he said, "I can't do that." But then he accepted the penalty and went into the lion's den, and God protected him. And the material in the Declaration, it says we have the right to overthrow a government that becomes tyrannical. I would understand that those were representatives of sovereign states, and I put the states really to blame that for the mess that we're in today, because they have not stood up against the tyranny of the federal government and exercise their rights. Now, in Missouri, for example, for the last few years, the federal government comes down and says that because there's smog in St. Louis and so forth, that you're going to have to have this kind of air quality, and or you're going to lose your federal highway money, and everybody's going to have their cars tested and all the rest. And boy, they stand up and say, this is a violation of the 10th Amendment to the Constitution, and they take a real strong vote and tell the federal government to keep their money, and we're going to do it our way. Mm-hmm. And then 2 days later, they come back and reconsider and pass the thing. And the federal government has taken our money that they come down and take from us, take it to Washington, spill half of it, and then send it back with strings attached, and in that way they have gotten us to give up on the freedoms that God gave us.
A government that can regulate you from the cradle to the grave has got to be able to control you from the cradle to the grave, got to be able to take whatever you have, because the most carefully kept secret in America is government doesn't have any money. Doesn't have any money other than what it prints, what it borrows, or what it takes from us by force.
That's right.
It never gives us anything. Hey, Bruce, we're out of time. God bless you. Thanks so much.
Anything it gives back, it has strings attached to it. That's why I'm opposed to vouchers and all these other programs.
I am too, and I think that we're going to have to realize that a lot of the people pushing vouchers are very, very good-hearted people. They just don't understand that whatever the government subsidizes, ultimately the government will control. And of course, what the founding fathers realized, and that is you can never trust government. Men are corruptible. Men are run by governments. That's why you have to limit the power of government. It was just that simple. Government is like fire, a dangerous servant, but a fearful master. Well, John, we're just about out of time. What are the parting thoughts you'd like to leave with our listeners today?
Well, I would suggest that there's an election coming this year. There's elections for city councils and school boards and state legislatures and consuls and all the rest. Our listeners should get themselves a copy of the Constitution and then arrange to meet as many candidates as they can and say, now, when you're elected, you're going to put your hand on the Bible or raise your hand and swear to protect, preserve, protect, defend the Constitution. Have you ever read it? And with that kind of a challenge, maybe a few of them might start.
All right. Well, we need to understand the foundations of our freedom. That's what it's all about. How can you maintain freedom when the average American doesn't understand the Declaration of Independence, doesn't understand that our freedom comes from God, and certainly doesn't understand what the Constitution says, or that the Bill of Rights is a restrictive covenant to limit the power of government over our lives?
Right.
Isn't it amazing we never learned that in school?
Well, that's the thing that every church I get into, I usually teach Sunday school on the biblical basis of the Declaration and the Constitution, and invariably people come up after church and say, why was I not taught that in school? Why have I never heard this before?
And the reason you haven't is because somebody doesn't want you to. Somebody's gone to great lengths to suppress the truth from the American people. Well, God bless you for everything you do, John, and we want to get you back on all of our other programs because it's a message that needs to be heard in every hamlet and every place that the electronic media can get us. God bless you for everything you do.
Thank you for what you do.
Thank you. Bye-bye. Well, I think one of the great privileges of my life is to be getting to know John Stormer, who I've heard of for many years, and I've read all of his books, and then we were thrown in together, and very often we go to meetings together, and we share a room, and I get a chance to hear John talk about his experiences through the years, and I'll tell you, it's really a lesson in history and a real privilege for me, and so then I can share some of these ideas with you and bring you John's wisdom. He is one of the nicest, most gentle, most intelligent, capable people. He's given his whole life to this battle for America. Are you willing to give part of your life, part of your substance, part of your time to try to preserve the heritage of freedom we inherited from generations past so that we can pass that torch on to generations yet unborn? Well, this is the time we have to ask you to pray for America, to pray for our leaders, whether you like them or not, to pray for our ministers, because they should be involved, and you need to get them educated, and you need to let them understand that they are going to be held responsible for what's happened to America, because if the church were really relevant, we wouldn't be in the mess we are today. And we need to quit preaching this sort of mushy, feel-good gospel and get back to the gospel that was preached when America was a great nation, and it certainly is not the gospel that's preached today. For in those days, our pulpits were flaming with righteousness. And lastly, we ask you to pray for my ministry, Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection. And so we'll be back with you tomorrow. And until then, may the Lord be with you.
slowly dying.